Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
Good morning, folks. This morning's not starting out good. My computer just crashed. I'm just trying to figure out where everything went this morning. We hope you're having a great morning. We've got a great show lined up for you today. In the 12 o'clock hour, we'll visit with Jennifer Van Ranken, Councilwoman at large for Jefferson Parish. We'll talk about the Ethics and Compliance Commission meeting the other day, her opposition to a project in the city of Gretna and the construct of SAME, and we'll find out what her thoughts are on that issue. Trip Rabelais, director of Lafreniere Park, joins us. The Lafreniere Park Christmas Light Show starts on Sunday, December 1st. We'll talk about what is the details surrounding that event. NOLA Coalition segment at 11:10. We will talk with Sierra Jackson, Economic Mobility Program Manager of GNO Inc., and we'll talk about what it is that they're doing, upcoming events and programming that's being provided by GNO Inc. in that regard as well. Wanted to remind everyone again about Dawnbusters Kiwanis Club, world's largest turkey fry. The deadline is coming up fast. They still have some turkeys available. We really want to sell it out this year, folks. Fried turkeys, 12 to 14 pounds. They're $65 a piece. They have them all fried. They package them up. You just drive through. They'll load your car up with them. Great gifts. I give them out every year. We utilize them at our family dinner. They are perfect every year, and usually many of the folks that we dine with end up buying turkeys as well. So you still have that opportunity. Just give them a shout at 504-867-8400. Or you can check them out at www.dawnbusters.org. And you can order your turkey there. Yesterday I talked locally about many of the things that love about the city, thankful for, and some of the failures as well. And hopefully we end up getting better in some respect. It's interesting, I've just been surfing the internet through it last evening and over the weekend and looking at certain things in this lame duck period between now and January 20th when a new incoming administration will take office and what's actually happening. And there's a lot going on. I mean, it's some of the stuff that started earlier in the year, but they are rushing to make sure that they get this done before January 20th. And it's kind of problematic. I mean, it's really interesting as to what we're doing. And, you know, I'm thankful for being a U.S. citizen. But when I look at what we're spending money on all over the world and the needs of U.S. citizens and the pain that many are going through financially and trying to make ends meet, some who cannot find a job, some, you know, who are having difficulty putting food on the table. And we're just out there throwing money around like there's no tomorrow. And it's really mystifying as to where our priorities are and why. And I guess the highlight of the weekend for me is when I found out that the department under Joe Biden of Health and Human Services spent roughly $390,000 for a team of academics at Drexel University to perform quantitative interviews. Hold on, with 30 transgender men across Delhi and Mumbai, India's two largest cities. Yeah, let me say that again. Roughly $390,000 for these academics to fly over to Delhi and Mumbai, India's two largest cities. And they provided the researchers with federal funding to distribute online surveys to 300 transgender men living in those cities. The ultimate goals of the publicly funded research project were to inform the development and evaluation of an intervention to promote mental health for transgender people in India and to impact rapidly evolving transgender health and social policies in India and beyond. Now, what interests would we have in the transgender community in India, and who thought it was a good idea to spend $400,000 in research in India for the transgender community? Now, the researchers themselves were very defensive. They didn't like this criticism. They argued that their work is absolutely necessary because the transgender community is experiencing major social legal changes that may affect mental health in India. One of the policy recommendations made in the final report produced by this stellar team of researchers was to implement public funding in India for gender affirmative health care, including hormone therapy and sex change surgeries. Have we lost our mind? With all of the needs, the mental health issues that we have here, not it just taking into consideration a growing transgender community, why do we feel compelled to go spend hundreds of thousands of dollars in India on this issue? The Biden administration continues to approve several grants aimed at supporting members of the LGBTQ community living, guess where? India, not the United States. For instance, tax dollars have been routed through the State Department, went toward training thousands of pro-transgender activists in, go ahead, you can say it, India. Another State Department grant provided financial support to a queer Muslim organization to give LGBTQI people in South Asia a platform to write. And this is where we would play the song, "Here I Come to Save the Day." Well, this has caught the attention of billionaire Elon Musk. And he's tapped to lead an agency focused on improving government efficiency. And without a doubt, he has signaled interest in cutting funding to programs such as these. Thankfully, somebody with half a lick of common sense is saying, what are we doing? How does this benefit the United States or by any stretch of the imagination. And how did we pick India? Right? Well, of course, I saw this article in the Washington Examiner. They called HHS, and they were not eager to respond. I wonder why. It's kind of interesting, right? Well, the Biden administration also, before January 20th, is going to pick and choose winners and losers. And one of the winners is a $6.6 billion loan to the EV maker Rivian. Rivian, many years ago, several years ago, was setting down a course to build a factory in Georgia. They paused the building of that factory. Why? There was no demand for the vehicle. The vehicle that they were producing at the time was about $70,000. They had proposed to build a vehicle bigger than the original model of the Rivian. They decided to stop that. They have been very concerned about whether or not the $7,500 electric vehicle tax credit will continue on under the Trump administration. We'll see. And also, there's a $4,000 credit for buying used vehicles. So this administration has decided that Rivian is going to be a winner. Now, they're other companies like Hyundai and others that are out there producing electric vehicles. Some are in the state of Georgia. Some are in the state of Illinois. It looks as though Rivian now is thinking about moving one of their manufacturing facilities to Illinois. Go figure that, blue state. And they were originally intending to go to Georgia. Let me remind you, that's a red state. But it seems as though they might be still back on track to go back to Georgia again. We're not sure. But here we are. We are going to bail out a company who's in distress at the present time as a result of their inability to make ends meet because there's no demand for their product. So we believe that at this juncture that it's smart for us to make a $6.6 billion loan to Rivian. Not our own U.S. auto manufacturing companies that are out there that are struggling, that are basically giving EVs away because there's no demand for it, shutting down production, not able. They have an oversupply. They see issues. They're kind of retooling. We're losing jobs, but this administration is going to go lend money to Rivian. You got to continue to scratch your head and wonder, what are we doing? Why are we engaged in this process? Well, this next one's really going to set you off the rails. So a Kentucky judge, now we know that there's been a lot of support for deportations, right? It was an issue in the election. It was a big issue. 57% of folks who were asked about the possibility of removing 11 million people who have been living here in the United States illegally have said, we're in favor of that. That was a CBS News and YouGov poll, right? 82% felt that it was the job of immigration and border control agencies, and 64% said that federal law enforcement agencies should be doing it. As well, there's not a lot of appetite for the military to do it in this country, period. A lot of this, though, the Biden administration is reacting, really freaking out, and they're trying to put things in place to handcuff the Trump administration as they come in, as they begin to talk more and more about how they're going to approach deportations. So the Biden administration thought it was a good idea, right, to provide expanded protections for farm workers, migrant farm workers who come to the U.S. under what is called an H-2A visa. These are visas where you come into the country for the picking season. There is a standard rate set for them to protect them so that they're not exploited from a wage perspective or otherwise. Well, they thought it was a good idea to give them expanded protections. And some of the expansion was, hold on, the ability to unionize. Now, they are guest workers to this country. This administration thought it was smart to let them come together as a group and unionize in order to compel U.S. farmers who are struggling enough to stay afloat today to have to deal with foreign worker unions. Yeah, I know that's kind of spinning around in your head right now, and you're trying to figure out, what in the hell are we doing? Well, thankfully, a judge, Danny Reeves, in Kentucky, sided with Kentucky farmers and Republican attorneys generals in Kentucky, Ohio, West Virginia, and Alabama, that the Biden administration cannot do this on its own accord. If you're going to expand these types of rights to H-2A visa holders, this has to go to Congress. This is something carved out for Congress. You don't get to expand these rights on a whim because you believe that they should have the right to sit down at a bargaining table and engage, I guess, in collective, I don't know what they're going to engage in, collective bargaining, whatever. They're not even citizens. They're guest workers. They have the Migrant Workers Protection Act. They've got some other acts under immigration law that govern them and provides some of the safeguards for them in order to avoid any abuse. And, you know, I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous. But we're off and running because we are afraid of what's going to happen with the incoming administration. And we want to handcuff them. We want to handcuff them so that we allow these folks to unionize. And then we got to sit down and bargain with guest workers that are coming here to this country. Really what it is trying to pit farmers against this against the incoming administration. It's absolutely crazy. There was another article that came out over the weekend as well. Actually, it may have been yesterday. It was interesting about student loans. Now, you know, I've talked about this a lot on this show, and we've had a lot of people on this show about student loans. But what I did not know was the following, and I think you didn't know it either. And it's going to be interesting. So a loan is typically somebody lends you money, as pointed out in this article, to someone else at interest, right? And when the borrower pays back the loan, the lender makes money for providing that service of financing, of putting up the money. And that's what the interest is. That is the profit that's made, probably a little less than that, with the administration of the loan. Well, back in the Obama administration, they talked about the nationalizing student loans that would make them more efficient and more profitable for the government by cutting out the middleman, the servicing agency. And it would save taxpayers about $68 billion in the coming years. In total, though, the government's entire student loan portfolio between 2015 and 2024 lost. Yeah, it's a loan with interest, but they lost $205 billion, and it's expected to continue losing money for the foreseeable future. The Committee for a Responsible Federal Budget, based on new research from the Congressional Budget Office, finds that 2014's projected $135 billion gain, which is what they thought they would get from student lending, was only off by $340 billion. It wasn't because the CBO was wrong. It's because these administrations changed the rules. And what they allowed was a more generous form of what is called, and you've heard us talk about this on this show, the income-driven repayment program. And since the estimated costs have exploded and the pause of student loan repayments during the pandemic, what we have found is that we are completely upside down in all of these loan types. Now, there's basically five student loans: subsidized undergraduate loans, unsubsidized undergraduate loans, graduate Stafford loans, grad plus loans, and parent plus loans. Parent plus loans, yes, you're going to love this, is the only one projected to make money, right? All the rest are significant money losers. So parents, encourage your kids to go the other way, because you're the only one that's going to pay the bill, pay the price, as always. The biggest discrepancy appears in grad plus loans. For every dollar of a grad plus loan issued, the government was expected to make 41 cents. It's actually losing 25 cents on a dollar, a 25% loss factor on every dollar. Graduate Stafford loans, which are capped, they were supposed to make 29 cent gain on a dollar. They're now losing 21 cents. The unsubsidized undergraduate loans, which they're available to all students regardless of income, went from a 9 cent gain to a 27 cent loss. Subsidized undergraduate loans, which are only available to people with lower income, used to roughly break even. Now they lose 35 cents per dollar issued. Loans on fixed-term repayment plans are still expected to net the government money, but most loans are on that IDR, so most of those will be losers as well. And these numbers are getting up into the staggering hundreds of billions of dollars. And the folks that are the ultimate beneficiary are middle-income and upper-income individuals. All others continued to get screwed, quite frankly. We've talked about how they have to remake, re-engineer, reform this whole student loan business situation as it relates to how much money you're going to borrow, for what purpose, how you come out of this, what is the propensity or the likelihood of you being able to pay back the loan. Not unlike every other loan that you go and sit down in front of a banker and you have to prove your credit worthiness as to pay this back. This is one of the only situations that I'm aware of that they call a loan. And what this article says is stop calling it a loan. It's actually a handout, because the moment in time that this country got upside down with loans, it's not a loan any longer. It's a handout. And they continue to make it, they want to make it more and more of a handout to benefit, quite frankly, a few. When you look at the overall numbers of people that go to college, go and get advanced education, all the others that don't are footing the bill. And the question is whether or not that's fair and just to those. Now, that's a big proposition. But in the end, in the meantime, we should at least make these stand on all fours. Break even would be perfect. We don't need to make money, just break even. But we shouldn't be losing money on loans that are given with little or no underwriting criteria at all in determining the likelihood of being able to repay them back. These are just a few of the highlights that are going on in the Biden administration at the present time. And they have taken a concerted effort to make sure that in this lame duck period that they expand on all of the following programs over the coming days. And we'll keep our eyes on it to see exactly what they're doing. We would love to hear from you. 504-260-1870 on the Oakwood Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. When we come back, we'll go to the talk lines. Stay with us.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
If you've ever wondered about the dark psychology behind history's most notorious murderers, Mind of a Serial Killer is the podcast for you. Find Mind of a Serial Killer on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, folks. We'll go to Dave on line one. Dave, what say you? Happy Thanksgiving.
Sheriff, you know, I'm from New Orleans, and I can't tell you how much I miss my dear mother's oyster dressing. I hope you and your family and the listeners have some great oyster dressing for Thanksgiving.
Same to you, Dave.
Sheriff, I want to start from the beginning, if I may. Trump has said multiple times at rally after rally he collected hundreds of billions of dollars of tariffs from China that went directly into the United States Treasury. He didn't collect a penny. The importer pays the tariff. Now, and I refer to Paul Krugman's column in the New York Times today. Just like, and I'm using these words myself, just like Trump University was a scam. Now, Paul, according to Paul Krugman, now, these tariffs are nothing more than like a crooked card dealer dealing from the bottom of the deck. Now, if I am an American manufacturer and I have a product and I'm dependent on imports to produce this product, well, very likely, I'm going to have a tariff put on those products, so I'm going to have to raise my price, which will raise inflation. However, according to Paul Krugman, if you happen to have a membership maybe at a Trump golf course or you contribute it to a Trump campaign fund, you can apply, or you can apply, and you're very likely to receive a waiver on your imports. So this is nothing more than a scam by Trump to put money in his pocket and raise inflation and cost the American people dearly. And, you know, the Republicans have spent good taxpayer dollars to investigate Hunter Biden for receiving money from a foreign interest in Ukraine, Burisma. Now, when are the Republicans are going to get around to investing Trump's son-in-law for making $40 million a year from Saudi Arabia? And Trump's son-in-law has been traveling the world to raise money from foreign entities and governments to finance some real estate deals. And furthermore, he's managing a $2 billion sovereign fund for Saudi Arabia, and he has no experience whatsoever at this type of management. And, Sheriff, if you would be kind enough to grant me another moment, can we discuss climate change?
Well, let us talk about tariffs first. First off, the tariffs that most recently announced by the Trump administration, and I'm not really big on tariffs myself, so
I'm not either. I'm a free trader. I'm a liberal guy.
I
believe in Milton Friedman.
I understand some of the skepticism. I get it. But the tariffs that he's talking about are conditional. If X, then Y. If you don't do this, then we're going to impose the tariffs. And from my perspective, I think it's just a shot across the bow to be able to start conversations and negotiations as to other issues that Trump wants to see accomplished. So, for example, one is border control. Already the reaction has been by Trudeau is to call the president to begin a conversation with the president about what Canada will do on their side of the border to minimize and possibly eliminate, illegal migration from Canada into the United States, and the same holds true for Mexico. Now, I'm going to reserve judgment to see what exactly Trump does as it relates to these tariffs. He's done this before. The interesting thing about the tariffs, though, and what, Dave, you failed to mention almost every time that you call, is that the Biden administration not only kept most, if not all, of the Trump tariffs in place, I think there may have been one or two exceptions, they actually expanded the utilization of tariffs, and there were more tariffs in place by the Biden administration than the Trump administration. So there's no one guilty party, and a lot of what you're talking about, maybe we could even say relative to Biden as well, that there was favorable treatment given to favored industries within the United States. That's not uncommon at all. Now, to say that it rises, wait a minute, I'll let you talk. Let me finish.
I apologize.
A lot of times, you know, you claim that it has risen to the point of being illegal, and that there's possible illegality. I don't know. That's yet to be determined. But okay. The fact of the matter is, I think it's premature at this juncture. He's talking about he's made a shot across the bow. It's a threat, but it's conditional. We'll see how both Mexico and Canada react. We got a little bit of a flavor of how Canada's reacting because they're nervous.
Mexico said they're going to match tariffs penny for penny and dollar for dollar. Now, Sheriff, if I may say...
We'll see. He's not in office yet. A lot changes after the hand goes down, after you swear on that Bible and you're sworn in. Right now, he has the apparent and presumed, or the presumed authority to do some of this. On January 20th, he's going to have the actual authority to do it. And, you know, so a lot of people, there's a long time between now and then. And a lot's going to happen. There's a lot of posturing going on. And we'll see what happens. Go ahead with your other thought, Dave.
If America's going to prosper, we have to do it by educating ourselves and working smarter and building the products other countries wish to buy. Sure, on climate change, if I may. NASA has a satellite. Now, I believe you're a skeptic on climate, human-caused climate change. NASA, and these are facts.
No, I'm not a skeptic about that at all. I'm a skeptic as it relates to the amount of human-caused climate change. We characterize it as being an existential threat to society as we've known it. And I simply remind people every time I hear that, but for climate change, we wouldn't exist on this planet today. So if you go back historically and you visit with paleontologists and others and you listen to what they have to say about climatic changes over thousands upon thousands of years, you never know exactly what trend, what peak, what valley we find ourselves in as it relates to climate change. And in fact, just recently, there's a group of climatologists and scientists that have come out and said that the problem that's been articulated by climate activists today has been completely and totally exaggerated. And if we eliminated the carbon footprint in total, there would be a de minimis impact on temperature in the world or otherwise. And there's no science that controverts what they're actually talking about. So it's still not settled science in many respects on this particular issue. There are a lot of people making a lot of money on the rhetoric in and around climate change. And I'm a little skeptical as it relates to that, because we have created an entire industry, direct and indirect, on this, where people are making so much money, it is absolutely crazy. And I'm not sure that we're getting the true story. We keep saying follow the science, but nobody's really sharing the science. They're sharing what they say is the what, not the why. The what is the outcome. They can't connect the dot from the why to the what right now, and they know it. And that's been the issue. And what we've tried to do is silence anybody that says anything to the contrary. Why? Because there's too much money being made by a whole lot of folks in this industry. And we ought to be encouraging debate, not trying to silence those that are bringing forth evidence that are opposite of what climate activists are saying. Got to get to a break. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us. We are back, folks. Let's go to Jim. Jim, you're up. What say you? Happy Thanksgiving.
Well, Neil, I just mainly wanted to wish you a happy Thanksgiving. And, of course, I was listening to your rant. And I was wondering, didn't the Supreme Court outlaw what Biden was doing on those student loans?
Yes, on some of them, on forgiveness. These what I laid out in my dialogue, you say rant, I say dialogue, about student loans is that this program, once it changed back in 2014, they did it in order to make money for the federal government. But what happened is when they engaged in changing the rules, it got upside down and now they're losing money.
Yes, I heard the losing part. Hey, can we send Biden a bill? Can we send him a bill?
Well, it wasn't just Biden, in all fairness to Joe Biden. I mean, this goes back to
it was the Department of Education.
Yeah, it goes back to the Obama administration. And let's be perfectly honest. The 4 years that Donald Trump was in office, that continued on, and it really wasn't remedied. And it's because everyone engages in deflection, denial, evasion, and then a counterattack on everyone that brings this issue up. I mean, this ought to be at least a break-even proposition for the government, at the very least. Or stop calling them at this, as this author Dominic Pino says, stop calling it a loan. It's not a loan. It's a handout. And he's right.
Just like that broadband is a handout. Have you mentioned that in your rants where Biden is giving everybody free broadband? And, you know, they can get that HughesNet free. I don't know why they had to put the broadband on those electric light poles for the rural people.
Well, I think, you know, there's a balance there. There's an interest of government in building out an infrastructure that allows folks to have internet access and broadband in rural areas. Because what happens is that the market is not there. There's not enough people there to support it. So they would never be able to have the advantage of gaining access to streaming services, internet or otherwise, if somebody didn't step in and assist in that way, because it doesn't make financial sense for private companies to do it.
But HughesNet gives it to them free. If they meet certain qualifications, you get HughesNet free, which is a satellite service.
Yes. But there are a lot of different things that through that satellite service that are limiting as it relates to the utilization by individuals. So that was one of the considerations. Now, remember, when these decisions were made to embark upon this, a lot of that satellite internet service wasn't readily available. That's been a more recent happenstance.
Okay. Okay. Well, look, happy Thanksgiving, my friend.
Same to you, Jim. Thank you so much for the call. Truly appreciate that. Folks, just the remainder of the day and in the upcoming hour, we'll have Sierra Jackson, Economic Mobility Program Manager at GNO Inc., and in Trip Rabelais from Lafreniere Park, the Christmas lights display. We'll talk about that. And Councilwoman Jennifer Van Ranken, at-large Councilwoman, will be talking about the Ethics and Compliance Commission, a letter from the Inspector General, the response by Jennifer Van Ranken to this project as well. There seems to be a lot of disagreement as what is the best course of action to take. It has become very heated as it relates to that, and we'll dig down and we'll try to get to the bottom of what's pushing what and who's pushing who. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. This is Newell on WWL. All right, folks, when we come back, we'll visit in our NOLA Coalition segment with Sierra Jackson, Economic Mobility Program Manager of GNO Inc., and we'll talk about a number of things, upcoming events and programming, such as the GNO Inc. Innovation Internship Program. And in the back half of the hour, Trip Rabelais, director of Lafreniere Park. The Christmas lights will be lit on Sunday, December 1st. That's this Sunday already. Can you believe that we're already at December? And then at 12 o'clock, we'll visit with Councilwoman at Large Jennifer Van Ranken. We'll talk about the most recent controversy surrounding a project in Gretna and her thoughts about that. So we'll be right back after the break. Stay with us. This is Newell on WWL.